One of the lovely things about this time of year is that, you know, most people are kind of off work and having a bit of a break, you know, except the priests. We keep on working. But it's a good chance to catch up with family and friends. And one of the things that really struck me a couple of days ago in catching up with some friends and one of their children that I hadn't seen for most of the year was just how much he'd shot up over the last 6 months, you know, both in his height, but also that he was now speaking in a much deeper kind of voice than he was previously. We really can't call him Timmy anymore. He's kind of grown into Timothy now that he's matured. And that sense of just watching with joy and delight as there is this growth and maturity, you know, the changes that brings about. And that wonder that we see in our families, you know, being able to watch, to observe, to notice what happens when that growth begins to happen. And it happens in every life. And so it's kind of a lovely moment. I mean, it's the only instant that we have in the life of Jesus recorded in any of the Gospels of any kind of event that happened between his birth and then his, you know, rocketing onto the world stage with his public ministry. And so this precious moment and the little details that were given about this day, that it was their practice each year to make the pilgrimage. You know, it wasn't an inconsequential thing to walk from the very north of Israel up in Galilee at Nazareth all the way down the Jordan Valley to make their way up then the hill and the ridge up to Jerusalem. It would have taken 4 or 5 days with the caravan that is described to be able to make that journey. And so it's a significant thing for them to do this. But every year they faithfully fulfill this. But on this year, when the young whippersnapper Jesus is on the cusp of manhood, you know, at age 13 in Judaism, it was the custom that was when you became a man. You know, becoming a teenager is a relatively modern phenomenon. You know, the whole experience of being a teenager was really an invention of the 20th century. Before that, you know, at that time, around that age of 13, people were treated as adults. They were, you know, fully mature. They were able to do all of the things in the world. And so Jesus here, it's a year before, it's the cusp. He's beginning to taste what it's going to be like coming under the covenant, coming under that experience of maturity, being able to be treated now as an equal with the others. But at this stage, he's still a boy, still at that experience. And yet he's already expressing that curiosity, that desire, that longing to be there in the temple, surrounded by people who are talking about the things of God, discussing, tossing ideas backwards and forwards, that the whole experience. You know, the way that the scriptures are meant to be opened up to us is by that experience of opening, tossing ideas. Basileo is the Greek word that is described as, you know, things that are opened up from one idea to another. And so as he's there pondering and discussing these things, he realizes that this is the place for him to be about. And the Greek is a little bit obscure at this point. You know, when Mary comes and they finally find him after the 3 days of searching, and, you know, she's a bit sharp with him, that remonstration of, what on earth are you doing here? You know, why didn't you stay with the caravan? And that experience of Jesus just saying, well, didn't you know that I had to be about my Father's? And that's where the Greek is a bit obscure, because there's no actual noun that is used there. It's just a plural somethings. So it's often translated, my Father's house, about my Father's business, about my Father's affairs, about these things. So it's all of this is somehow caught up in what Jesus is about in this moment, as he's coming to his own experience of maturity, as he's coming into that place, as he's realizing what this is going to mean, that he needs to be prepared. He needs to have soaked himself so thoroughly in the Jewish scriptures in order to be able to share that with those around him, in order to be able to bring all of that to fruition, you know, and all of that experience. Well, what are the things of God? What are the things that Jesus sees are so crucial to him? And of course, we have to keep reading right throughout the pages of Luke's gospel to be able to make sense of all of that. And it's interesting that, you know, this theme of the lost and found, that even Jesus himself is one of those who gets lost at times. And, you know, it will become one of the dominant themes of his parables that he will speak, particularly in the 15th chapter. But this sense of the journey that he's inviting us into, the tossing around of ideas, that will also be one of the key ideas that we find in the gospel. And particularly, we'll hear it again in the story of the two disciples, perhaps a married couple, on their way to Emmaus. We get that same experience, that same call into this deeper reflection. But the first place that we find Jesus articulating what it is that these things are about, what the Father's affairs are involved, is the next time they will get to hear him speak, which is when he goes back to Nazareth as a grown man and he makes his first homily. You know, he opens the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and reads from it and says that these things are now being fulfilled in your hearing. And what things are they? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me and he has sent me to bring the good news to the poor, to announce a year of the Lord's favor, to bring about this freedom for those who are bound in chains, freedom for prisoners, to announce this gift of God's grace breaking into the world. And perhaps that's the message that we need to hear as we ponder about our own families and struggle to make sense of things in our world, to realize that that message is announced first to us. You know, that we need to first hear that message of liberation and freedom being spoken into our own lives. Perhaps there have been things that have marked and shaped 2024 that we don't want to carry anymore into the new year. Perhaps there are these moments when Jesus will set us free, when he will break the chains of liberation, when he will speak into our own poverty, when he will bring the abundance of his grace and mercy, the lavished love that we heard about in our second reading today, that sense of God so wanting to fill us with that experience of his love and his tenderness. How can we be changed and how can we be transformed by that message of liberation that Jesus will announce to us? Let's indeed ponder what it means to be about the Father's affairs. Let's hear the word of Jesus being instructed into our lives to bring us that freedom so that we can be the people that he's called and chosen us to be as we prepare for the new year this week.